A lot of you are working from home right now during this pandemic, COVID-19. You can stream us from anywhere. Download the Game Nashville app. You can enable your Alexa skill or Google Home and ask it to play 102.5 The Game or live stream from our website, thegamenashville.com. Fourth and final hour here on this Tuesday. Darren, Donick, and Chase, we say hello and good afternoon to Terry McCormick from TitansOnline.com. Terry, how you doing?
Or Titans Insider.
What did I just say? TitansOnline.com. My goodness. I will say this. I was trying to cram a little food. I'm a little lightheaded. I need to eat something, and I'm going to use that as my excuse for my brain right now. Sorry about that, Terry.
That's okay. By the way, Titans Online has now transitioned over to TennesseeTitans.com. Did you guys know that?
No. This week?
Yeah, it is.
Last week, I think. Still working last out week. Some of the kinks, according to what Jim Wyatt told me, but they are changing the name.
Wow, okay. So it's going to be TennesseeTitans.com. .com, okay. Very good.
What do you make?
Let's just start with the draft is going to take place, which is great for what we're doing, right? It gives us something to talk about, write about, and it's going to go as planned, but it's going to be different. And we're in a world now of, you know, Zoom calls and Skype and all that good stuff. That is our video conferencing, WebEx. That's what everybody's using to have their meetings, and that's going to be no different from the NFL. And the news came out yesterday, like, they're not going to have anybody at the facilities. Everybody's going to be on their own. One, how the unique challenges of these teams trying to pull that off and do that and not be in a war room, how weird is that going to be, you think?
Oh, it's going to be crazy. I mean, because, you know, on the one hand, just put yourself in John Robinson's shoes. There's going to have to be one conference call where you're in a meeting room with your scouts and Mike Vrabel and maybe some of the assistant coaches that want to have input, because if you're going to draft a linebacker, you're going to want Shane Bowen's input on that player, that sort of thing. So you're going to have to figure out a way to do that. Then you're going to have to figure out a way to get in touch, which I guess can be done with a simple phone call, to make trades to move up or back in the draft. And then you've got to get on conference call with the league in order to announce your picks.
Yeah, boy, that's a lot of juggling. That's a lot of craziness going on at one time. You know, there's been a lot of concerns, as you can imagine, here in the last 24 hours of teams saying, I don't know if people are all directing this toward the New England area, the Foxborough, the Boston area, or if they're actually concerned about the whole league. But people getting tapped in and basically checking out the way people are going to be conference calling each other, like I said, through technology. What do you think the odds are when the draft is over that somebody's going to accuse somebody of doing that?
It's very possible. I already saw that John Harbaugh is on guard, saying that he doesn't want the Ravens playbook or their draft board to end up being hacked and in the possession of some other team. So, you know, I never really thought of that, but I guess it's possible. And like you said, there's a certain group up in the Massachusetts area that's been known to do things a little underhanded from time to time. So maybe that might be where they want to watch first.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of people that will have those jokes ready, right? come draft time.
You know.
Where do you think John Robinson and that staff is right now? Do you think they have – I know it's a unique situation, because whenever you have maybe a higher pick – sometimes you can safely predict, like, what's realistically going to be there for you. But when you're picking 29th, how do you do that? Like, how do you know? And there's going to be 28 picks in front of you. Do you think they have an idea of where they're going, or maybe at least the position in the first round? And if so, what do you think it is?
Well, you know, the logical thing would say right now, cornerback, especially if Logan Ryan doesn't end up back on this roster. But I think they probably have a pool of players that they would feel comfortable with taking with that pick. And I also think, you know, remember, John Robinson comes from the Bill Belichick school of drafting, which if you're picking low in the first round, which they are, you know, what do the Patriots usually do with that first round pick? They deal it, and then they turn it into second and third round picks, and then they wind up having eight or nine draft picks in the draft as opposed to just the customary seven. Because, and the reason I think that they do that is because in most drafts, most GMs will tell you that there are usually about 20 to 25 players in a good draft that are true first-round type players. That the difference in player number 29, where the Titans are picking, and player number 42 is probably not that much different, except that if you draft a guy at 29 and he's really not a first-round commodity, you're still on the hook for first-round money. You're still, you know, you've still got to deal with that fifth-round option and all that stuff. So you're better off recouping more picks, trading down, and picking the same guy somewhere in the 30s.
That's a good point. We're all looking forward to that. And Terry, as we sort of put your last couple answers together, the logistics of trading, I do wonder how that will work with everybody theoretically in their own homes, right? Not in facilities. How quick can you pull it off? And will they think about maybe giving extra time between picks to just because maybe the process of communication will be slowed down?
Yeah, you almost think they're going to have to. And that's, you know, not going to make for good television, because already, you know, you see in the first round and sometimes even in the second round, sometimes there's a lot of filler time put in between picks. So, but, you know, given the circumstances that we're facing, I would think that, you know, they might have to give an extra couple of minutes, especially, you know, if trades start factoring in and teams start wanting to move up or move down, and sometimes you're having two or three conversations at once if you're trying to auction off your pick, you know, multiple teams may be calling you. So it may be a situation where they have to, even though, like I said, it probably won't make for great viewing.
Terry, you know, in looking at the days ahead, I do wonder, if I'm a general manager, I would certainly want to know as much as I possibly could about, especially key free agents that you're going to invest a lot in. We know that the situation is open right now with Logan Ryan and even Jadeveon Clowney, for example. Do you feel like those two in particular, the big name guys who are going to get some money, will be signed by somebody by the time this draft starts?
I don't know. I mean, because here's the thing. You know, if you've got to give that guy a physical, especially if you don't know him. I mean, obviously with Logan Ryan, they know him. They know what type of situation, you know, he was in. They know he's probably whatever, as healthy or healthier than he was during his exit physical. If the Titans went back out and signed Logan Ryan before the draft, wouldn't surprise me. Would shock me if they signed Jadeveon Clowney before the draft, because there's no way to get the guy a physical. There's no way to be able to sign off on him and have your doctors do the legwork and be able to do what the due diligence that needs to be done. So, you know, it's unfortunate for guys like Clowney, who may have kind of priced himself, you know, with his health situation and the contract demands, may have kind of priced himself into a corner right now as he's kind of waiting to see exactly, you know, what his future holds. Now, I mean, the only team that really holds a key for Clowney is probably the Seahawks, because he was there last year, and they should know better than anybody what his medical conditions are. So if they're comfortable signing him, they could probably go ahead and do it. Any of the other 31 teams, I'm not so sure.
Terry, a very important final question before I turn it over to Chase. I noticed that the season is underway in our What If Sports League, your 70s Yankees, and of course you're a veteran manager, are 1-1. My 80s Mets are also 1-1 in a series against the Astros down in the Astrodome to start things off. But this is what we've been reduced to, right? Simulated games. I'm very excited about this 24-team field.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. I looked at the box score just a little while ago. My first game, 78 Ron Guidry got the job done, but 75 Catfish Hunter got roughed up a little bit in the second game. I play in the 70s Pirates, so going against Stargell and Clemente and Rennie Stent and those guys, you know, they can swing the bat.
Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com, hanging out with us. And I'll have to check that out. I haven't seen that yet that you guys are a part of. So I'll have to look at that. Even though a lot of those teams were before my time, it would be fun. But yesterday, Terry, we had Jeff Fisher on to talk about, you know, memory lane. And I asked him about Derrick Henry and his thoughts and how he would have handled that situation back when he was a coach. And I thought the first part of his answer that we have for you was actually pretty interesting because of the relationship that he had with Floyd Reese. Here's what he said.
You know, I was really lucky to have Floyd there with me because my philosophy as a head coach was that I wasn't going to get in the negotiation. Basically, it ended up being, you know, we would talk, yes, you really want him back? Yeah, I really want him back. Man, okay, we'll do what we can to get him back. And, you know, he would usually get it worked out. But from a coach's perspective, you know, it's not on either side of the spectrum. It doesn't make sense to ask a guy to take a pay cut or to get a guy to do a deal, and then you come back as a head coach and you want to ask him to play hard for you. So I stayed out of those. But Floyd, for the most part, got those things done.
So I bring that up because I, you know, and we know that things changed over time with those two, but I look at Mike Vrabel and John Robinson now, and I feel like that they have been on the same page pretty much since they got together. And this is obviously a situation where they have to be, where, you know, the money has to be fair. But I thought, to Jeff's point of, you know, being the head coach and asking a guy to, if he takes a pay cut, then to go play hard, you know, what does that do? So what do you make of the relationship between the head coach and the GM in a situation like Derrick Henry's?
Well, I think they probably are handling it similarly. I think Mike Vrabel is going to stay out of the negotiating talks and let John Robinson do his thing on that, because I think they probably communicate, much like Jeff said, as far as, you know, which players they feel like are vital to the roster, which guys they want. Obviously, they feel like Derrick Henry is the guy that they have to have on this team in 2020, and rightfully so. But in order to be able to keep him, they had to use the franchise tag. And, you know, Robinson said that, you know, they're going to try and work out a long-term deal if they can. They got until July 15th to do that. And the fact that Derrick Henry has already signed the tender is a good faith move on the part of him and his agent, Jimmy Sexton, because that means that he won't be holding out of camp. He won't be, you know, walking in the Monday before the first game and saying, yeah, I am, I'm ready to go, and then wind up getting hurt. In terms of, you know, I think the best philosophy with Vrabel and Robinson on this is just what Jeff said. Coaches coach, GMs negotiate, and players play. And then, you know, and then the other part of that equation is when it comes down to business, the player usually defers to his agent. So, you know, the coach has the GM, you know, to do his work for him. The player has the agent to do his work for him.
What does your gut tell you? Do you think by that July 15th deadline, they have a long-term deal in place?
I think there's probably a decent chance of it, especially with Henry having signed the tender. If things were acrimonious between the two, I think his agent, Jimmy Sexton, would probably have advised him not to sign the tender and to hold out and wait until the last minute. I think the fact that he signed it probably is a positive sign that they're going to at least work toward trying to get something done.
Terry, do you think that – I know this was brought up last week on the conference call with John Robinson, that they haven't made decisions on fifth-year options. I would say, at least for Corey Davis, they're probably not picking that up. Dory Jackson, who knows. But the receiver position, to me, is one they could tinker with because they haven't gotten exactly what they expected out of Corey Davis. Do you think it's a position that they might look at in the draft, or possibly if there's a free agent out there after the draft, they might look at that?
Well, it's a deep receiver draft, and I think that's one of the things that the Titans probably will look at and maybe take advantage of, because the one thing in this offense that they've been missing is a guy who can just run straight down the field, take the top off the defense. I know we saw that some with Khalif Raymond this, you know, earlier this year, but he's not a real big size guy. He's about, you know, I can look him straight in the eye, so he's 5'9" on his best day. So I think if you can find a guy who can, you know, take the top off the defense and got a little bit more size, if that guy's there in round three, round four, why not take a chance on it? Because you're already down a receiver from having lost Tajay Sharpe, so you know that there's at least a spot on the roster to add a wide receiver. I think, with the Corey Davis situation, if I'm John Robinson, I probably decline the option and let Corey Davis show me that he's worthy of a contract extension rather than using that fifth-year option. Now, with Adoree Jackson, I know he's had some ups and downs, but I see more ascent in his game. I think he's improved quite a bit from the time he got here. There's still things he can work on. I'd be more inclined to give him the fifth-year option than I would Corey Davis if I'm choosing one or the other.
Terry, good stuff. I was planning on going to New York City to see your Yankees and Willie's Mets in late June, early July, but I'm not sure that's going to happen. In fact, I'm probably
not going to happen. Connor and I were supposed to see Yankees and Twins on May the 27th. Doesn't look too good for that happening either.
No, probably not. Probably not. Hey, thanks for doing this. You and the family be safe. We'll talk soon.
All right, thanks.
Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com. We'll come back. Field Yates, by the way, at the bottom of the hour. More of Darren Donick and Chase next.